Reginald Thomas, Reel 6. Did you notice any changes in the country in the years immediately following the war?
Can't see you with that. Yes, immediately following the war. Changes in the country. You were living in the country in those days, Kathleen.
No, we were living in Blackheath in the war.
In England.
In England, yes. Wherever you went.
Yes.
Yeah. I suppose the lights going up, that certainly would have had its own reaction.
Yes, the removal of the restrictions, of course.
Yes.
Was a tremendous relief, wasn't it?
Yes.
Very, very deeply felt, actually, thankfulness to no longer have to pull the curtains and shut the blinds and see if there's no... It was inspectors, you know, came round. Some of us, acted as inspectors. Go around and knock
the
door and saying there's a bright light, to come out and see what you've left. Because any light like that would strip down the side of a blind. An aeroplane might see it and say, well, this is an inhabited place, let's drop it, let go.
Yes.
And down the light come above. And that was practical experience. And yes, that's so. And all the relief from that was very, very much felt, I would say, wouldn't you, Kathy?
Yes. You're not recording, but one interesting evening, I know, it was Churchill was making a special speech, and evidently we made up our fire boiler. We were all sleeping in the kitchen at the time,
yeah.
And Hilary and Martin had come to bed. And suddenly I know there was a big black tat at our front door, and apparently our chimney had caught on fire. We left this really thin glazing. And a man came in, and a very smartly turned out chauffeur, and they said, you know, your chimney's on fire. And the excitement with which they went out, and they got some earth to try and get it down.
Salt, I think we used
to. And I remember Elizabeth trying to get the squirt thing up.
Yes.
Because we could see big sparks flying out of the window. I remember that was a very vivid little. And this was all Churchill's voice. He'd forgotten about it.
Yeah.
But forgotten about shutting it down.
The last question. In the immediate post-war years, after the First World War, did you feel that the hardship and the sacrifices of the war had been worthwhile?
Oh, yes. I think there's no doubt about that. The authorities, I think we take off our hats to them, I think, with the restrictions. Well, I think none were too severe or unjust.
No, it was a tragedy of loss, wasn't it, people?
But then,
I think that, because I think, as a young person, the young people that we knew, who perhaps it was a matter of weeks, a cousin of mine was only out a week, and he was bombed, he was killed, and another young man. Oh, such a lot! That first, the casualty lists were. Where dreadful went then, I remember that vividly.
I think it'd be right to say that we never heard any complaints about the restrictions being too severe or anything of that kind.
Oh, war was war. We were all in it. We did feel we were all sharing in the hardship.
Mm-hmm.
Was the big tragedy, one was said, for the very young people who never even had a hardly a chance to show what they could do for the country.
Yeah.
And that didn't happen on the second, did it?
Is there anything else that you would like to mention? You think?
And Kathy, you especially, but
well, the First World War.
Yes, that's what we're talking about now.
Yes. I think the sense of relaxation, I think that is the, I think everybody would say that, though, wouldn't they? Can you think of the children? Elizabeth wasn't there, of course. Or David. Now I think the firstborn ended. And I think we must have, as young people, we must have come back into a time of peace very gratefully and easily. And I suppose things did happen slowly beyond the easing up of the blackout. Makes me ought to be able to remember. I'm so sorry to feel that there's nothing that comes, but yeah. I suppose the effort making and of keeping going during the war and the anxiety of the people we cared about and everybody in general.
Of course, rationing went on for quite a long time, didn't it?
Yes. And the other sort of thing, the time I was doing my post work and sorting out the post. And the little tiny sad things that you would suddenly see another little house in the village with a little card, you know, they used to put up with a little black round it. You'd see another one hanging either where one had already been before, there were two, or another house. There were these things, nothing was said, but they were very real. This is, I think the happy things, the things that one wouldn't have remembered, that's one thing I think one would think of. That one Christmas morning I was taking that post round to the outlying farms, and a dear little old lady came and knocked at the window as we were coming. You were with me, do you remember? And she handed out a loaf of bread, a homemade loaf of bread.
Oh, yes, right.
Well, you wouldn't have thought of that as a Christmas present, but I can remember that was something that was done. And as I was given the letters, and he just said, Happy Christmas, and there was this little old lady handed round the loaf. When we were having rather queer bread at that time. There are little incidents that stand out, aren't they?
Thank you very much.
Another little thing, which is really not to do with the war, except it was post work, which I wouldn't have been doing, I suppose, except for the war.
Of course.
But there was a discussion about reading postcards. I said, oh, yes, I can't go 5 miles and carry 3 postcards and not see what's on them. You were horrified. I said, I'm afraid I've got no conscience about this. But one day I read a postcard going along. Somebody wanted some dancing sandals. I was writing back, and this must have been on a postcard. And about 3 or 4 days later, he was an awfully nice man, the postmaster. And all he said, we'd never talked about the slippers or anything, all he said, yeah, miss, he said, yeah, your dancing sandals. They were a great big pair of hobnailed boots and done up in a parcel breaking through. But that was a sort of some little tiny incident that was nothing to do with the war, except the war push. But that just the laugh and the talk over something that I didn't know that he'd ever seen the postcard, and but he must have known that I had. It's quite a joke carrying his heavy hominy or boots around.
Well, now, this is the First World War Mr. Bryce is doing.
Yes.
And are there any things that Mr. Bryce is really asking? Is there any things he has not included in what he's so got from us? Is there anything else that we think he might like to consider including, adding?
I suppose one of the important things was this sense of humour that has made one remember certain things, aren't they? That became important. I think one of the things that one finds it hard to speak about is the fact of what one believes and the need for prayer, which I think is...
It's, again, commonly said that with church parades and so on, it tended to turn lots of people away from religion.
Yes.
Did you find that the war strengthened your faith?
I think the need for prayer all one's life, Rex. You were not a Catholic in those days.
Yeah.
But the need for prayer was great for you, wasn't it?
Well, we Protestants used
Church
could pray,
yes.
All right. But,
yes.
Mm.
But it was...
I think so. I think you're... it's really perhaps... Would you say your belief in the Almighty and that side of life altogether?
Did you feel that the padres were doing a worthwhile job?
Oh, yes.
I think I doubt
it. It was this Father Barber that I told you. And how I begged he might be with David if the bad time coming. And I said, as I said goodbye to him, I said, dear God, may they be together if a bad time's coming. Perhaps that's too much to ask. May he have someone as good. And they came face to face at the entrance to the slope down to Dunkirk. And I felt that was... It was Hilary said to me when the telephone was ringing, Dunkirk period, Mother, there's David on the phone. And it's almost his first words, who do you think I met? And I said, I don't know. Father Barber, we met on the defences of Dunkirk. We went down together and stayed together and crossed over together, bombed the whole way over.
Yeah.
And then they were separated at Dover or wherever they... But that was a vivid, I thought, I never hesitate to realise that God grants, though not always. There is a great mystery in life, isn't there? And Lord, have you ever come across? I was putting the things there. It's the answers to prayer. And they must have prayed, goodness me. It was a cousin of yours, Rex, a doctor, who had heard, is this taking up a wrong time for you?
Oh,
you're interested.
Well,
this is only about Lord, so
yes,
I don't want...
Sure.